Happy Easter. It's so good to be with you this morning. I pray that the power of God and the Holy Spirit does stirring, comforting, reassuring, hopeful things in you and all of us today. That is my prayer for us. About 10 days ago, I was driving on 694, coming to Oak Hill, this way, and it was kind of a normal, everyday day with feelings and life. You know, life. Familiar with that? And out of my periphery, I saw this. I don't know if you can see that in the back. There is hope. Now, some of you, let's just get this out of the way right away. Some of you are already judging me because you think I took that while I was driving. Not true. A friend of mine actually took that picture. But what's interesting to me is when I saw that billboard off to the side, and I'm going, it was there and then it was gone, okay? Because I'm past it. You get me? There is hope. I saw those three words, and in the next few breaths, I had a sense of relief. It was so strange. Even a smidgen of joy in me happened in that moment when I just saw those three words, there is hope. Here's another funny thing about that. Those are the only three words I saw. I didn't realize that that is actually our billboard, okay? Isn't that something? I didn't see anything else. I didn't see Stillwater. I didn't see South St. Paul. I didn't see Woodbury. I didn't see WLC.church. I saw none of that. All I saw was there is hope, and it did something in me. It took hold of me, even for a moment, and I had hope. Like, I loved that moment. And I thought to myself, wow, who's saying that? Who's declaring that? Who's speaking that into my life even as I am driving down the road? And I thought, that is such a beautiful thing. And though I had that for a moment, you know this as well as I do, that hope can be oftentimes fleeting. And then the next word that comes to mind is, really? There's hope. Sadly, we live, all of us, and it creeps in this world of cynicism. And we wonder, is there really hope? Does that really exist? And when we look at the circumstances of our own lives and we see things in the world around us, we question if there is really, truly hope and what that looks like and what that even feels like. Everyone's longing for hope. You know that, right? You look at our nation. You look at the struggle. You look at the future and you go, good night. What's going to happen? Will there be hope? Will things change? Will anything remain the same? You look at our own lives. You look at our families. You look into the eyes of some children whose home, for whatever reason, seems to be in turmoil. And in these kids' eyes, they're longing for hope. You see it in the person who chose their career over their family. And now they feel alone and they wonder, is there hope? You see it in our bodies when things don't work the way they should and things are falling apart. We wonder, is there any hope for this? Students, you look at your schools and you go, what's it going to be look like? Do I have to live in some sense of fear? And so there's this longing for hope that is in every single life. When you look in the mirror, you are seeing someone who is looking for hope every day. And so this idea of questioning, is there hope? I believe today can be solidified in us. And I will speak a truth over us now that I can get up here and I can talk a long time, okay? Not that you want that. I don't think you do. But I can talk a long time about hope and about God and about his love and all of that. But all of us know that come tomorrow, nothing's going to change unless the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of Jesus, and an encounter with him happens for you. Nothing's going to change. I can talk till I'm blue in the face. We can sing songs all day long. You can go have brunch, and tomorrow's going to come, and nothing will change unless you encounter the risen Jesus and experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. See, what God is offering us today is this: confident assurance, not wishful thinking. We have grown accustomed to wishful thinking, haven't we? Because it's circumstantial. We don't know what's going to come. We don't know what the future is going to look like. We don't know what's going to happen after surgery. We don't know what's going to happen after graduation. We don't know what's going to happen after retirement. We just don't know. We don't know what's going to happen in November. And yet, all of us have wishful thinking. I hope it's like this. I hope it turns out like this. I hope this is gone from my body. We're all longing and wishing for something, but we're unsure. You get that, right? Because you just don't know. That's what we're all in. Biblical hope is not wishful thinking. It is confident assurance in what God has done. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead. The crucifix, the sacrifice of Jesus, is proof of his love for you. And the resurrection is proof of his power to transform you and claim you as his own. Friends, you are loved right now. Regardless of the mess you might be in right now, you are loved by God. He's crazy about you, and he's proven that to you by shedding his blood on a cross. Greater love has no one than this, than someone would lay down their life for you. And Jesus has done that. That is confident assurance in what has already happened. It's amazing. And it's surprising, isn't it? Heavy breath, Dean. So sometimes, okay, some of you know me well. Some of you have no idea. I'm a bit kooky, okay? On a good day, I heard that. So sometimes when I'm praying for us, praying for you, I have no idea who's going to show up on an Easter Sunday, but I've been praying for us, for this. And as I study scripture and as I spend time in prayer, sometimes, and I'm not saying it's always God, okay, but sometimes something comes to mind and it's just hilarious, okay? So, this is going to make sense for some of you. For those of you who don't understand, someone next to you can explain it to you later. I had a scene from a movie come into my mind as I'm praying and reading, which is funny because the movie is Ice Age. Who has seen Ice Age? Raise your hand. Okay. For those of you who haven't, okay, those were quick down, all right. Share with people or see the movie. There's a saber-toothed tiger, okay, in this movie. And I love the saber-toothed tiger. And for some reason, some of you who have not seen this, you're going to go, why would I watch that? Okay. Saber-toothed tiger and a baby, okay? And they're trying to comfort, reassure this baby. And so the saber-toothed tiger does this. Baby is here. And he just says, "Where's the baby?" "There he is!" And the child goes, "Wah!" Right? That's a surprise, right? That's the image I have in my head of what happens at the resurrection. It's all a surprise. No one saw this coming. And The writer of this gospel, Matthew, could have done a better job if he was crafting a lie, right? If this is a lie, then do it better. Because as you heard Elisha read, the first people at the tomb were women. No offense, women, here. But at that time in history and in that culture, women had very little authority. In fact, almost none. And their testimony was not valid. Not in the courts and not in the home. If the woman said it, who would believe her? Why in the world would Matthew use women as the first testimony of the resurrected Jesus unless it was true? See, there's integrity in truth. We're going to tell the truth. We're going to say this how it happened. We're going to tell it like it was. See, that's what's at the heart of this. Everything's a surprise. The fact that women were the first at the tomb, going there with their spices to anoint the body, the stone being rolled away, the angel sitting on the stone, declaring, "He is not here, he is risen." It's all a surprise. No one expected Jesus to be raised from the dead. Everything about it is a surprise. I got it. The angel said, "I know you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified." In other words, confirming that he was dead. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he communicates with these women and to his disciples that he will rise from the dead. And even though he has said it and said it and said it, nobody is expecting it. It's a surprise. It's nowhere on anyone's radar. It's a complete and utter surprise for them all. And it is shocking, this reality they experienced. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were terrified, frightened, as you would expect, but also filled with great joy. Like, could this be possible? Is it really real? As they went, Jesus met them. In other gospel writers, I love how each writer shapes the account, gives another detail of the event that took place. In Mark's gospel, we hear this event, and as they encounter Jesus, when he meets them, he speaks the name of Mary. And I believe with all of my heart, we're 2,000 years past this, and you showed up on an Easter Sunday to hear this. He knows you. He knows your name. He speaks your name. Just as he said, Mary, the infinite, eternal power of the love of God knows you, and he speaks your name. So I want to take a moment for that to settle in. And what I would like you to do is I would like you to listen. I'm going to be quiet just for a moment. And I want you to hear in your mind the voice of Jesus speak your name. Here's why that's critical. An experience with Jesus changes us. It changed the women. It changed the disciples and the church that would come after. It transformed their lives. They were reshaped and set on course to bring hope to the world, to the confusion of those around them. You see, the resurrection matters now. I believe that we are living in a time of bad theology. We are living in a time of untruths that sometimes creep into the church as well. And here's what I mean by that. The resurrection of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit is transforming your lives and you are having encounters with Jesus, that matters now. Tony Campolo says it like this. This bad theology believes that the resurrection is only about pie in the sky when you die. And in the meantime, all we're doing is putting in our time, taking up space and oxygen, so that when we're done, hopefully, we get to go to heaven when we die. I believe that that is bad theology. God has won by Jesus eternal life for you, but that eternal life starts now. In all of his love and mercy and compassion, Jesus is resurrecting, transforming, and recreating his creation, which you are a part of, now. It's not just pie in the sky when you die. We're not just looking forward to heaven. We're looking for the recreation that is happening in the world by God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through his church, right now. And you get to be a part of that. How sweet is that? The world is desperate for hope. And you are the living, breathing hope of Jesus to the world. Wouldn't it be sweet if we lived that way? Wouldn't that be something for the world? Do you know that the first church, the women and the disciples, after encountering Jesus, did the most extraordinary things? Rome could not understand them. They went out to the city dump and gathered children that were left there to die because they had no value in the eyes of some. But in the church, they had great value. And so these children were rescued and brought into their own homes and saved and cared for as if they were their very own. They sacrificed great amounts of their own comfort and well-being for the sake of the poor, the outcast, the untouchables of society. The church loved radically, and the world did not understand. In the book of Acts, we read that they sold property and their very goods to give to, check it out, anyone who was in need. Not just the church. It didn't matter. They gave to anyone as they had need. Can you imagine if we lived like that? The hope that would come to the nations. The hope for our own nation. The hope for our cities. That's the invitation to step into and walk in the power of the resurrection right now in your life. And God has given that to you and called you to step into that and walk in that reality. It matters now. What a gift that is. In 1 Peter, we read these words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy." By the way, mercy translated is punishment withheld. God did not punish you and does not punish you. "According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again, so you have a new life, born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That living hope is now. Not just when you die. It is now. It is present for you right now. That's the power of Easter. That's the power of the offering of God for your life right now. And we get to be part of making this world more like it was in the beginning and more like it will be when Jesus comes again. So my question is, do you want that? He's quick. I pray that we embrace that. I pray that we are the hope of the nations, that the world would see the love of God in us, not because our lives are perfect. They certainly are not. Not that we don't have suffering in our lives. Not that we're not sad sometimes. But the power of God has transformed us to be hope for the nations. I want to end with this and let this challenge, convict, transform us. If you're a follower of Jesus, and that's probably not everybody in this room, that's okay. You can hear it as well. If you are a follower of Jesus, we should be the most kind, compassionate, merciful, sacrificial, gracious, and forgiving people on planet Earth. That should be us because of Jesus, because of what he has done for us. So followers of Jesus, check yourself. Let the love of God transform your life because he is so deeply for you and not against you. Let's pray. Father God, I pray your power, your provision, your mercy, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would transform our lives. Not because of a preacher, not because of a great song, but because you are present, because you are the resurrected, victorious King over our sin and our brokenness and our fear and our doubt. And when we feel hopeless, Jesus, you are our hope. And so would you please transform us, take us and recreate us to be born again into this living, present hope. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.